Hello, can you hear me? I'm sorry about my voice. I've been struggling with the cold the whole week. I hope my voice lasts throughout the talk. Okay, so my name is Thomas. I'm a postdoc at Technische Universität Dresden, Germany, and this is joint work with the Imperial College London, the Technische Universität Braunschweig, Germany, and the University of Otago, New Zealand. I'm presenting SCONE, the secure Linux container environments with Intel SGX. I want to start the talk by making two observations regarding the current state of cloud computing. The first one is with respect to trust. From the perspective of the provider, the users are untrusted. And the cloud provider uses virtual machines to isolate users from each other, as well as from the host infrastructure. One thing to note, though, is that virtual machines only provide a one-way isolation. They protect the provider from the users, but they do little to protect the users from potentially malicious administrators that log onto the machines and do a memory dump, for example. From the perspective of the users, their applications are trusted. But if I run my application on someone else's cloud, I currently have no choice but to also implicitly trust the cloud provider with its gigantic hardware and software stack that makes up a modern cloud environment. Also note that existing applications are written with a trust model in mind that assumes a trusted environment. So the applications have no provisions built into them to protect against potentially malicious operating systems trying to subvert the application via the system call interface, for example. The second observation that we make is that containers are the new VMs. So if you are a big cloud provider in the business of running millions and millions of virtual machines, you have a vested interest of looking for a more lightweight alternative that offers similar guarantees in terms of isolation. And it seems like containers provide that alternative. From the user's perspective, containers are attractive because the tooling and workflow to bundle your applications together with the dependent libraries and shipping them to someone else's cloud is really convenient. So here we have a recipe for disaster. You package up your favorite applications into containers and then ship them to someone else's cloud to run them. But all it takes is a single vulnerability across that gigantic hardware software stack to potentially compromise your application secrets, be they keys, certificates, or credit card data. So what are the goals that we have with SCONE? What do we want? We want to run unmodified Linux applications in containers, in untrusted clouds, securely, and with acceptable performance. So how do we do that? Well, it turns out that Intel last year in September, with their newest generation of Intel processors, introduced an extension called the Secure Guard extensions. What it adds to the processor is a new processor mode called the Enclave, in addition to what you already know, in addition to the existing user and kernel mode, for example. What that gives you the ability to construct a trusted environment on top of the untrusted cloud that is protected by the hardware. The only thing that you then still have to trust is Intel with their processor and that they faithfully implement the SGX specification. For those of you who are not familiar with SGX, this is a sort of one slide summary. So what Intel SGX gives you are 18 new instructions to manage the lifecycle of your enclave, as Intel calls the secure environment. And in particular, each enclave has memory attached to it. That is the enclave memory. The hardware guarantees that only the enclave that this memory is attached to can access it. So even privileged software on the same machine, such as the virtual machine monitor or the system management mode, cannot access enclave memory. There are certain additional restrictions that apply. So for example, certain instructions are not allowed while you're inside the enclave. And most importantly for our use case, where we want to run legacy applications on top of SGX, is the disability to perform system calls. So the syscall instruction is not allowed while inside the enclave. So to achieve our goals, we identified two main challenges that we have to overcome. The first one is with respect to the interface or how much code to include in the enclave. So 2 years ago at OCI 2014, there was Haven, and they proposed to run an entire library operating system as part of the enclave. What that gives you is a large TCB with potentially many vulnerabilities, so we should always aim for a small code size inside the enclave. On the other hand, Haven has a small interface to the outside world consisting of only 22 system calls. Haven also introduced this notion of shielded execution, where you provide additional checks on that interface to see if someone is trying to do funky things with your application via that interface. Okay. As an alternative, when deciding how much system support code to include in your enclave, you might also go for an approach where you proxy everything to the outside of the enclave. So you have your C library interface, but actually the implementation is residing on the outside. But arguably, the C interface is much harder to protect than 22 system calls and also the existing system call interface that comes with the operating system. Okay, the second challenge that we identified is a performance challenge. So I already mentioned that we are not allowed to execute system calls while inside the enclave. This is a micro benchmark to motivate why it is important to efficiently handle system calls. So on the x-axis, you have the number of threads that execute our micro benchmark, and the micro benchmark consists of a single system call that we repeatedly execute in a loop. It's a p-write system call with a 32-byte buffer. And then on the y-axis, you have the frequency with which we are able to execute system calls. We compare two versions. One is the native version, that is the green line, and the blue line is the same version of the micro benchmark where we exit the enclave, execute the system call, and re-enter the enclave. What we see is that with a single thread performing the micro benchmark, there is an 8x difference in the frequency with which we are able to execute system calls. So if you have applications that frequently issue system calls, they will run significantly slower if we exit the enclave for each and every system call. So how do we do it? Well, we propose to include an enhanced C library into the enclave, and that gives us a small TCB, certainly smaller than including an entire library operating system. That addresses the challenge number one. For the second challenge, we have an architecture consisting of asynchronous system calls in combination with MN user space threading. That reduces the number of enclave access exits, and that is beneficial for performance. We also propose to actively protect the user's data by transparently encrypting and decrypting user data that passes out and in of the enclave by transparent encryption. So how do all these things work together? Let me walk you through an example. So you have your application that you recompile with Scone, and what you end up with is an application that basically consists of two parts. One part of your application runs inside the enclave, represented by the upper half of the slide. And then you have additional machinery running outside of the enclave, represented by the bottom half of the slide. The application that we want to execute, in our case, is Memcache, and one of those Memcache threads wants to execute a read system call. To execute a system call, we have to copy all the relevant information pertaining to the system call to a data structure in outside memory that we call system call slots data structure. In particular, that means we copy the system call number and all the arguments to the outside. What we also have to do is, for the read system call, we need a buffer where the data will eventually end up in that we read. But when the enclave invokes that call, that buffer will point to enclave memory. I already mentioned that one of the things that SGX guarantees is that enclave memory can only be touched by the enclave. So if the operating system is eventually going to execute that call, it cannot touch that buffer. So we also have to allocate an appropriately sized buffer on the outside of the enclave. This is the gray box that you see. How do we actually communicate to the kernel that we want to execute a system call? Well, it turns out instead of exiting the enclave, we communicate with the kernel through a lock-free shared memory queue. And what we do is we just enqueue the index into that array, into the queue, that will then eventually be consumed by the kernel. We now note that our user space thread can make no progress because it's waiting for the result of the system call. But as it so happens, Memcached is a multi-threaded application, so there's another thread ready to execute. So what our user space scheduler does is it uses system calls as yield points to find something else to execute. So we instead switch to thread number two that also wants to execute a read system call. So we just repeat the step that I just explained to you. We fill the data structure and then we enqueue an item into the request queue. But how does the enclave know whenever a system call finished executing? Well, as it turns out, there is a second queue that we call the response queue, and whenever the response queue contains items, that means one of the system calls finished. Whenever the user space scheduler switches between threads, it also looks at the response queue to see if there are any items in there. So in our case, it looks at the queue, sees there's an item for thread number one, and then switches back to that thread. What we also see is that the gray box now contains what looks like garbage. That is not true, because when we recompiled memcached with the SCONE framework, we also enabled the network shield. Because remember I said that existing applications are typically written with a model in mind where the environment is trusted, and memcached does not encrypt any of the traffic that it puts onto the network. So we activate our network shield, and that enables transparent encryption of everything that goes across the network. So as a last step to finish executing that system call, we have to copy the data back into the enclave. And in our case, we not just copy, but we also decrypt. And then it turns out that this is actually a GET request for key number one in our example. That concludes the example. Let me briefly talk about the container integration. So you build your application with SCONE and then put it into a container image where you can also encrypt specific parts of that container's file system. So you build your secure image in a trusted environment. You then publish that to a public repository that is untrusted. If you want to run one of those images, you just tell the enhanced Docker client that you want to run an image, and then it starts talking to the Docker engine. So the Docker engine is a daemon that runs on all of the hosts where you potentially can start Docker containers. So you tell your Docker engine, I want to run that image, so it grabs the image from the repository, bootstraps the enclave, and as part of that bootstrapping procedure, the enclave also uses remote attestation so that we can be sure that this is actually the enclave that we intended to execute. Once the remote attestation is finished, we establish a secure channel back to the Docker client, and we can then pass any secrets that we need to run our enclave. So what about performance? I mentioned that it is important to efficiently handle system calls and that we use a combination of user-space threading with asynchronous system calls to get around that, to address that challenge. So this is the same micro benchmark that we saw before, where we have a p-write system call executing in a loop. And again, we have the green version is the native execution. The blue line shows you the performance when we exit the enclave for every system call. And then we have the yellow line that shows you the performance that we achieve when we use the asynchronous system call interface. And instead of having an 8x overhead, we see that for a single thread, we are able to achieve 80% of the native performance by using that asynchronous system call interface. For lots of threads, the overhead grows, so the gap between native and the asynchronous interface widens, but we are confident that with an optimized implementation of the lock-free queues, that gap will narrow. So how does performance look outside of microbenchmarks? For the lack of time, I can only show you one graph with the real application. In this case, it's Apache. So this is your typical knee plot where on the x-axis you have throughput and on the y-axis you have latency, and at a certain point when the system becomes saturated, your latency will spike. We compare again three different versions of our program. The blue line is the native version that achieves the highest performance, about 48,000 requests per second. And then you have the green line that is the performance that we achieve with SCONE by using the asynchronous system call interface. And we see that we achieve 80% of the native throughput. We also see that the asynchronous system call interface is beneficial outside of microbenchmarks because the synchronous interface only achieves 70% of the native throughput. We also looked at memcached, Nginx, and Redis as other examples to run on top of SCONE, and we see that we achieved our goal of having acceptable performance. Sometimes we are even faster than the native execution, but that is an artifact of how we run the benchmark. So I already mentioned that memcached does not encrypt its traffic on the network, so our baseline consists of memcached with a TLS proxy in front of it. And we found that having this setup with a second process is actually less efficient than doing the encryption and decryption as part of the application thread, because you still have to copy data from the TLS proxy process back to the application process. And this is why SCORN actually achieves better performance than native in the case of Memcache. We also see that sometimes doing the encryption and decryption as part of the application thread hurts performance, as for example in the case of Redis. So Redis is a single-threaded application where doing the encryption and decryption as part of the application thread really limits the performance. Again, the baseline uses a TLS proxy that is able to distribute the encryption and decryption over it across multiple cores because that TLS proxy is actually multi-threaded. So this is why we only achieve 60% with the asynchronous interface and 20% of the native performance with the synchronous interface. Let me summarize. So the goals of SCORN were to run unmodified Linux applications and untrusted clouds in containers securely and with acceptable performance. We do that by only including a modified C library into the TCB that gives us a small trusted computing base into the enclave that gives us a small trusted computing base. And we achieve acceptable performance by having an asynchronous system call interface that allows us to achieve between 60% of native performance, and sometimes we're even faster. All the modifications that we make are transparent to the container engine, so you can, whenever there's an update to your Docker container engine, the SCORN framework will just continue to work, and the things that you have to change are minimal because we only require a modified Docker client. With this, I'm finished. I thank you for your attention, and I'm happy to take questions.
Questions? Go ahead.
Hi, Ken Williams King from the University of British Columbia. I have a quick question for you with respect to, maybe I missed this, but how do you deal with the provider being able to detect sort of application or container behavior by means of sort of system call invocation patterns and sort of side channels with respect to that sort of thing?
Okay, so I did not go specifically into the threat model, but we consider side channels as a future worker outside our threat model. So we do have no specific provisions to deal with side channel attacks.
Okay, thank you.